As David suggested, we are looking at Psalm 87. This is found on page 925. Unless you have it. No, you don't have it up there. Okay. Psalm 87. Short psalm. A song. Before we read, let's ask God's blessing. Heavenly Father, this is, again, your word to us, written by the psalmist, reflecting on covenant history, looking back, looking ahead. We thank you for the prophetic aspect of this psalm that tells us who we are, what we have received, and that we know what to whom we owe our place in this worldwide church of Jesus Christ. Be with us by your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 87. He has set his foundation on the holy mountain. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are said of you, O city of God. I will record Rahab and Babylon among those who acknowledge me, Philistia too, and Tyre along with Cush, and will say, this one was born in Zion. Indeed, of Zion it will be said, this one and that one were born in her, and the Most High himself will establish her. The Lord will write in the registry of the peoples, this one was born in Zion. As they make music, they will sing, all our fountains are in you. May God bless his word. People of God, some time ago I was watching ball game, I think, on television, and a very rare thing came up, an advertisement, commercial. And the first words of the commercial was, where were you born? And I perked up my ears and said, hey, I got a sermon by that title. The thing was, though, the question was asked in regard to Coors beer. Coors beer is such good beer because the water that it's made out of was born way up in the upper reaches of the Rocky Mountains. So where were you born was asked there in regard to this beer, but I asked the question because Psalm 87 forces us to ask that question. Where were you born? To that question, we get about as many answers as there are people in attendance this evening. I suspect we all know where we were born. I was born in a big square farmhouse located about 5 miles from the little town of Woodstock, Minnesota, right on the Pipestone Murray County line. Same farmhouse my dad was born in. In fact, Grandpa and Grandma still lived with us at the time, although Grandma passed away, I think, when I was about 10 months old, but she did have the ability to call me a kleiner Jungicha and this type of thing. Story is told that when I was born, my dad took a 10-pound sack of flour in one hand and me in the other and said, Ma, I think we got a 10-pounder here. The older among us, of course, can name the same the farmhouses where we were born. The younger of us, of course, name hospitals where we were born, in Sioux Center or Grand Rapids or someplace else, maybe in the Netherlands. Some can name the place, the state where we were born. And I suspect that no matter how far removed we are from the place where we were born, we still hold a certain attachment to that place. You read a little clip in the newspaper or something on the news that and the name of the town where you were born comes up, you listen with more intensity. Maybe you catch a name of a person you know or something that you are acquainted with. As we get older, we like to visit some of those places where we were born. We like to walk through the old cemeteries. We like to go to the Hall of Records or the church record book and find out if any relatives are still living in the area. But you know, it's also possible to give away the place of our birth We learn something about where people were born by simply listening to them, observing them, even noticing their habits or their customs. What people call their noon meal, lunch or dinner, tells us something about where they were born. About their evening meal, supper or dinner, tells us something. We've lived in several different states in the time of our ministry, and we've learned many different names to a loose meat sandwich. It's either barbecue or a made right or a tavern. We had to figure out what they meant in some of these places when we came. What are you talking about? Anyway, we listen to the accents that people put on words and how they pronounce certain words and different expressions they use, and we're often able to identify in a general way where they were born, where they grew up. Now, all of this chatter, of course, is only about our first birth, the physical birth, where we were born. In a real sense, the more important question is, where were we born the second time? There is a second birth. Jesus told his midnight friend Nicodemus, "You must be born again." And the place of our second birth is more important, you know, than the place of our first birth. But then added to that is the question, if people can tell where we were born the first time, can they also tell where we were born the second time? If we leave clues as to where our first birth took place, do we also leave clues as to where our second birth took place? It ought to. So we want to look at this rather strange psalm, Psalm 87. Strange because it's prophetic. Strange because it's way ahead of its time. What does it mean to be born in Zion? We want to begin by identifying Zion. We read that name in the Bible. We have songs with that word Zion in it. What is a Zion? Originally, of course, Zion was the name of the fortress built on the highest hill in the old city of Jerusalem. This was a place, a fortified place. And whenever the old city was attacked, the citizens would flock to that place in Zion, that fortified place. Enemies could not penetrate Zion. Consequently, Jerusalem was one of the last cities that the Israelites claimed and conquered in the promised land. In fact, it was not until David was 7 years into his reign before he finally conquered the city of Jerusalem, and he made the fortress of Zion his original or his initial place of residence. Eventually, however, the fortress of Zion was replaced by a temple, Solomon's temple, built on the highest hill in Jerusalem. So the name Zion was transferred from a fortress to a temple, to a place where the covenant God had put his name and where he lived among his people. But as we move on in redemptive history, the place where God chose to live among his people was not in temples built with hands, but in the hearts and the lives of his people by way of his living word and his Holy Spirit. Zion became the name of the church, the body of people in whom God lives by his word and spirit. But then we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves. We go back. There was also a spring of water that was flowing somewhere in the vicinity of that old fortress, and later from the temple. And that spring of water was used in redemptive history to become a symbol of grace and blessing flowing from the place where God had put his name. In fact, the prophet Ezekiel sees this vision of a tiny, tiny stream of water flowing out from under the sill on the east side of the temple, the door sill on the east side of the temple, and that little spring of water increasing and growing and getting deeper and broader and wider until it flowed into the Dead Sea and made the sea alive again. So Zion is the covenant God, living among his people, pouring out as from a spring of water, grace and blessings. And Zion is the place from which the deliverer of God's people comes. Revelation pictures the scene, the Lamb, the ascended Jesus, standing on Mount Zion, surrounded by the 144,000 with the Father's name written on their foreheads. Zion, it's a covenant term. Covenant made, covenant fulfilled. God made the covenant with Abraham and fulfilled it in Jesus Christ for the purpose of establishing an eternal Zion, God living among His redeemed people. Now, the reason we suggest that Psalm 87 is a rather strange psalm is because it's prophetic. It begins with a statement of faith, a confession of faith. He, the Lord, has set His foundation on His holy mountain. The holy God has a place from which He operates, from which He does His work. It's called the holy mountain. It's called Zion. God has chosen to make His dwelling among us on earth, and the dwelling place He operates from, the dwelling place from which He does His work, is called Zion. So the tabernacle in the wilderness was replaced by the temple on Mount Zion. From there, God lived among His people. From there, grace and blessing was poured out. But just as that wilderness tabernacle was replaced by the temple that Solomon built, so the temple that Solomon built was replaced by something else. God no longer living in temples made with hands, but in His church, His people. That's why the psalmist says, "The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than the dwellings of Jacob." There's progress in redemptive history. There's a progress in the display of covenant love. Redemptive history moves on and it becomes more pronounced, more effective. The cross and the resurrection of Jesus is a greater display of God's love and redemptive work than is the Exodus. God living among His wilderness people in the desert was replaced by something greater. God living among His people in Solomon's temple, only to be replaced by something greater yet. God living among His people. First of all in Jesus Christ, and then by means of His Holy Spirit. The Old Testament dealt with shadows of the things that were coming. And so because God's covenant love is progressive, and Zion will move from being the name of a building on a hill to the name of a temple to the name of a people in which God lives by His Word and Spirit, the church, therefore the psalmist can say, "Glorious things are said of you, O Zion, city of God." Reminds us of the song that we sang, "Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God." That's us, believers, products of God's grace, people in whom the Holy Spirit lives to build faith in Jesus Christ. We are the city of God. And so again, what once was a temple on the hill where God lived among His people is now the church and the worldwide body of believers. And we listen to Peter, who says some glorious things about that church. You are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Sadly, such glorious things are not said about the church in our modern culture. Some folks blame the church for the world's ills. They're so anti-progressive. They're always standing in the way of progress. They are unjust. They're judgmental. And it's true, of course, that many wrongs have committed in the name of religion and the church throughout history. Many an old world cathedral and a goodly number of modern elaborate church buildings are built on the backs of the poor and at the expense of the hungry. Many representatives of religious organizations have brought shame and disgrace in the name of Christ, as we're reading about in the news right now. But at the same time, the lifestyle of so many people in our culture declares by their neglect, "Who needs the church? I need my weekends, but I don't need the church." However, there's something to be said about the church, the body of true believers, something that the modern culture is often unwilling to say. Glorious things are spoken and will continue to be spoken about the church because we were born in Zion. And that brings us to the rest of the psalm. What is that one body then? That one entity that brings people, God's creatures together from all the various directions where history and migration and immigration have taken them. What brings them all together? The church, the city of God, the modern Zion. The psalmist is prophetic. It looks way ahead of its time. When people who were first born in Babylon or Philistia or Tyre, Or we could say Nigeria, Japan, Costa Rica, Canada, the United States, the Netherlands. What brought them all together? What put them all together in one body called the church? What all these people have in common is not the same language, and they not the same color, not the same economic status. What they all have in common is a united testimony, a common confession. We were all born in Zion. All of God's creatures who believe in Jesus Christ, who accept His rule in their lives, will acknowledge the grace that has flowed as from a spring, from that place where the Lord God chose to put His name, from that holy mountain of God, flowing out of Zion, gathering people into one body called the church, the new Zion, where God lives by His Word and Spirit. That's the one common denominator of all who are called the church, the place of their second birth. It will be the same for all. This one was born in Zion. That one was born in Zion. That one was a product of the grace of God that flowed from His throne, His dwelling place in the person of Jesus Christ. And then the psalmist says, when God registers our name in His book of life, it's not the place of our first birth that will be recorded. Some folks imagine that it will be. That first place, the first birth is the important one. I was born in Sioux County. I was born Christian Reformed. I was born in the Netherlands. That first birth is important in the minds of some folks. I was born white, speaking English. But the Psalms 87 says that it's our second place of birth. That's the important one. And that's the place that will be recorded in God's registry of His people. This one, that one, they were all born in Zion. I am a product of the grace of God that flowed to me from the place where God made His dwelling among us. And so people ought to be able to tell where we were born the second time, should they not? We suggested earlier that sometimes we can tell where people were born the first time, you know, out east, the Netherlands, down south. Can people tell where we were born the second time? In Zion. Does our place, our life of worship, our habits of worship and prayer, our grateful living, our willingness to serve, does that say something about where we were born the second time? Does it tell the world that we are products of the grace and the love of God that flowed? We listen to the songs that are sung by those who were born in Zion. As they make music, they will sing, all our fountains are in you. Worship. Thanksgiving. It's not just a good cultural habit passed down from generation to generation. Worship becomes a genuine, desired activity, a proper response to those who know, to those who confess, all our fountains are found in God. We have received that gracious privilege of being reborn by the Word and the Spirit of God, who chose to make His home with us and among us. So can the world tell where we were born? Does our lifestyle, our priorities, our integrity, our worship, our hope show all our fountains are in God? We are products of His grace. Amen. Thank you, Father, for this psalm, for your redemptive history of which we are a part in a very special way. Help us never to forget that. We're products of a history of redemption that moved from tabernacles in the wilderness to a temple built with hands, to a temple not made with human hands, but a temple of people of every nation and color and language who are the products of your grace that flowed to us through Jesus Christ and the power of your Spirit. Help us now to live as people who know where we were born the second time. May that be our common confession, the source of our joy, our peace, our worship, our thanksgiving. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.